tonight. Come on, give Jesus a good praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Thank you, worship team. You guys are amazing. I play just like that guy over there in the drums. I taught him before he was ever born. And he can pray. I said, man, he can pray. I couldn't believe how much you prayed. And I said, what a blessing to hear you pray. So many young people don't know how to pray. That guy's a jukebox when it comes to prayer. So good to be among you and to celebrate 20 years. It is amazing. It is amazing to see Edgy, Sonia, and all their family together. I can remember when we took that road and we came down to Riverside, and I told them, this is it. I think you look good in this Riverside area. And I don't know, I just felt like I had a little puppy with me and we're just going to release him. But little did we know, because of an obedient man, an obedient lady, to do the work of God today, look at what God has given. Only God can do that. There isn't anybody that could do that fast. And 20 years have gone by. It seems like a dream. I walk in here and I feel like I've been dreaming. I see Edgy and Sonia and all the children, and I rejoice because they're a little, tiny, little, beautiful kids. And just to see them, it excites me. And then to celebrate 20 years, how fast time has gone by. And I don't know about you, I came to have church today. I'm excited. I was watching everything on TV yesterday because I came late from a meeting. And I was watching and hearing Edgy, man, and just took me back into memory lane. And you're right about Stella. Stella gave you discipline. She loved you so much. I remember one time we were in a brand new house that we bought, and Stella loved her counters. And Edgy, I don't know what he did, but he broke one of the bricks there. Yeah, a coconut, and it broke. And man, Stella was upset. I've never seen her so upset in my life. She gave Edgy, I think, 3 weeks of discipline. Would not even talk to him. I don't even get treated that way. But she was such a beautiful lady. I mean, I feel her spirit like this month of April for some reason, because April 20th is her birthday, and this is 20 years, it's the 20. So we're nothing but 2020s, hallelujah. So my title of my message is Time to Power Up. I think we need a good stirring. We need a good Holy Ghost anointing to fall upon us. And I think we need to keep up the pace with the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that creates every single thing. It's the Holy Spirit that He hears and listens to the prayers. While you're praying, God is moving. He's arranging every single thing. Just like the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, He started creating every single thing as the Spirit started moving. Listen, the Spirit of God is moving everywhere, but we're so glad that we could be a part of what He's doing. Amen. Yes, sir. And out of the book of Acts, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4. I love my big Bible. Because as you get older, you need a bigger letters, amen. So, and it's nice when you can see it from the bed, and you can read it far away from the bed and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that the letters are huge. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 31. Did I say 31? Yes, I did say 31. Amen. Here we go. Man, I can't find 31 in my Bible. No, it's 41. Okay, 41. That's why. And they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were all together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I call that revival. Can you say amen? I call that people that are walking in the Spirit. I don't know about you. I don't like to hear myself. I like to hear what the Spirit of God says. I hate to be walking around just to walk around, but I know that He's walking with me, and every step that I take, it is a powerful step. I don't think that I'm just ordinary. I'm extraordinary. I think that you are extraordinary, because when you're walking with God, there is a power that is walking with you. And as you walk into the places that are dark, you can tell the devil, "I'm coming through," and you can feel the power because it's all over me, and it's like a shaking going on that takes place because we are the children of God. Tell your neighbor, "You're the child of God, neighbor." You see, if you're the child of God, then you need to walk in that authority. You're not a weak individual. You're not a skinny individual. You're not an ugly individual. You're an awesome man. You're an awesome woman. And you have belonged to God. Hallelujah. So when you start thinking about yourself, the way God made you and where He put you and where He raised you and now what He wants to do in you, then you get excited. Hallelujah. When you get excited over what God is about to do in your life, if God touched you, you will never be the same. If God moves you from that place to here, you will never be the same. If you walk into the future, you will say, "Wow, look at what the Lord has done." And this is what's happening to the church today here in this place. God did not give you a building just to give you a building. God gave you a building so He can call out everybody and bring the ecclesia together so that they can hear the word of God. So you are the pillar of the house of God. You are the children of the living God. You are carrying the power of God. You're carrying the fire of God. And if the devil hates you, let him hate you, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a stirring taking place in these last days. The last days that we're living through, you are seeing it everywhere. But the church of God will live through every single situation. And we're going home. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, "It's time to power up, neighbor." Say it to the other one. He might be deaf. Time to power up. I don't know about you. I get excited when I talk about the power of God. Because when Jesus walked anywhere, there was power running through Him. When He went into people that were sick, He raised them from the dead. When He were people that were sick in some kind of diseases, He healed them there. Let me tell you something. The same power that Jesus had inside of Him, it's the same power that's inside of you. So as Christians, we need to live in a life that flows. We cannot just live a boring life. How many have ever woke up in the morning and said, "Man, I'm so bored"? You know, you need to get that word "bored" out of your vocabulary. You need to tell yourself, "Shut up, fool. You're a child of God. What are you doing talking so negative? I've given you power over the devil, but you got to use your words to establish what God wants to do. You got to kick him out, man, and say, 'Devil, out of my house. This is God's house. I'm going to rule. I'm going to reign, not because I'm whatever I am, but because I'm a child of God.' It's the only reason. You got to have some life in you. Tell your neighbor, you need some life, neighbor. Then the other thing is there's power against the enemy. The devil hates you because you have power. That's why the opposition comes to you and it comes to attack you, because he hates what's inside of you. And if he can get you to think the way you used to think, a carnal individual, an individual that had no power, an individual that was full of doubt, and now you're backing up and saying, "No, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're hitting me heavy? Let me tell you who I really am. You are not going to confuse my mind. You are not going to take over my ears, but I'm going to speak directly to you, devil. You ain't got no power, because God is living inside of me." And if you want to have a conversation with him, go ahead, because he's got it at a loss. And he knows it because Jesus died and arose again. So the world needs you and I. You are a special individual. God needs you. Say it with me. God needs me. That's why he saved me. To use me. To accomplish what I could not do in the flesh. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. Why do you say that, Reuben? Because power gives you ability to accomplish. Say it with me. Power is given to me to accomplish. So you just can't sit down and accept everything. No, you got some power, and we're going to accomplish what's impossible with man. It's not possible. It's possible with God. So there is nothing that the devil can do unless you let him do it. Let me say this. When I walked into this grounds today, my knees started shaking. No, not shaking. They started going into pain. And I said, what is this? I was perfect. And I got a feeling that the devil's been hitting your knees, hitting your bones, because he wants to knock you down. You got to shake yourself, say, devil, get out of my knees, get out of my bones, get out of every single thing that I'm feeling. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'm going to walk. I'm going to talk. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to feel the power of God, and I'm going to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. So you need to be available for God, but to call out your healing. If I can say this, you've been suffering with your knees, you've been suffering with your hips. Let me see those hands. Yeah, look at that. The minute I got out of my car, everything was hurting me. I said, we got some devils in here. We got to rebuke those devils. Come on, we got to rebuke those devils. Say it with me, devil, get off of my knees, get off of my bones. No more pain. I don't need Excedrin, I don't need Advil. I need Holy Ghost inside of my body. Woo! I came to have church, hallelujah. Yeah, that's why you have to become available to the Holy Spirit to call out things that are bothering you. Just don't accept them just because they're there. Deal with them. Deal with them, because if you don't deal with them, they stick to you like a starfish. And then they bother your mind finally until you do something about it. We're here in the ecclesia, and we're celebrating 20 years, but we are not going to get sick. We are not going to get sick. We're not going to get sick. We're going to see another 20 years, another 20 years. We are not going to accept anything. We're going to see everything that God has for us. But we have to make ourselves available. And sometimes you got to talk to yourself even though you feel like a fool. Why do you go through us? Shut up, devil. Yeah, I am facing some things, but you placed them there, and I'm not going to accept them. I'm making myself available to the Spirit of God that helps me with everything. If it wasn't for the Spirit, you wouldn't be walking. Huh? Well, I'm preaching good. I'm coming around now. Here's a little point I want to make. There are promises that become power in your life for the Great Commission. And this is one of them, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them and saying, all power is given to you unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, teaching all and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. So number one, God's with us to the end of the world. Till the end of our time. God knows when we're going to die. He knows exactly when we're going to die, not unless you move the calendar and you tell the Lord, I don't want to die, not at that time. I'm not going to die because you're the author and the finisher of my life, and I'm not going to die at that certain time. Move my time a little bit. Let me harass my wife a little bit more. Let me harass this world a little bit more. Let me harass every devil there is, because I am moving. God will extend your life. And if the devil has been telling you that you're going to die, say, shut up, devil. I ain't dying. I'm going to live. I'm going to live, and I'm not going to die. You cannot accept things. Why? Because God's called us on a mission and given us power through a promise. I am with you until the end of your race. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul writing in the chambers, in the dungeons, as he's writing all the epistles, 13 epistles. He wrote them in prison. In prison. And prisons weren't pretty like they are today. They were dungeons. There were dungeons with rocks and polluted water, and there was no beds. It was rocks. It was nothing. It was hardcore time. And yet here he is, living among all the heathen, living among all those people that were criticizing, living there and just constantly writing, I'm going to write to the church of Corinthians. I'm going to write to the Philippi. I'm going to write to all of them. I'm going to write to all of them. And he wrote every single letter in prison. He should have been crying, moping, but the man was walking in his promise. I am not dying until God takes me home, because I have the power living inside of me, and he's called me for a purpose, so therefore I'm going to finish my race. The jails today, they're okay, but the dungeons, cold, no heater, nothing, rats. Every time, and then those rocks just sweating with cold. And then when it gets hot, it gets hot. So Paul didn't give up. So why should we? I see sisters, oh, I broke my nail. I'm crying. I'm going through a big trial. That's not a trial. That's a broken nail. You know, oh, I don't have this and I don't have this. So what? Jesus didn't have a place where to lay down his head. And yet he came and he died for us because he loves us. And the reason why we're sitting here is because of his love. He was in a mission. That was his mission, to accomplish every single thing. Number two, no longer. We long more for the power of the resurrection. We long more for the power of the resurrection. Oh, he can resurrect anything. I remember being in Chile. No, I'm sorry. I was in Peru, and in Peru, they had a thing going with terrorists, and the brother that was there, the pastor Sandoval, he told me, you know what, we're going through a lot, and people are being shaken because buildings are being blowing up and everything. I said, okay. He said, Pastor, you got to help me pray because there's too much fear going around. I said, okay, I'll help you pray. And I remember he put me in a third floor in his house up on the top. And I had to change all my prayer life. So say with me, say I was praying at 12 o'clock midnight, the devil would come at 3 o'clock. So I had to change my time clock to be up at 3 in the morning before the devil ever got there. So then I started praying and fasting for 28 days, the month of February. And as I started praying, and I started praying against whatever it was, but I didn't know how powerful it was until the last day. I changed my clock. I got up early to pray. I was fasting, and all of a sudden, that 28th day, all of a sudden, the ground shook. And I woke up like, whoa, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, I heard the dogs barking, and they're all barking, and they're afraid. And then I hear the babies crying, and the babies are crying. And then the pastor comes up, he says, what happened? I said, we just broke through, Pastor. We broke over the powers of the devil. We destroyed every single thing. And the next morning, the paper said, we caught all the terrorists, and we're taking them into a big dungeon in one of the islands that they have, and they're going to be there for the rest of their lives. The people were cheering. Why? Was it my power? No, it was the power of the resurrection. Because the devil knows that Jesus is alive. The devil knows that he arose from the dead. The devil knows that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for us. The devil knows that they ain't got no power. All he needs is a vessel. A vessel that will rise to the occasion. Listen to me, ladies and men. If you come to this church or wherever you come from, you back up. Back up the man of God. If you see him going through things, get in your closet and start praying for the man of God. Don't you dare start criticizing. We are one body. Let's take care of our pastors. Let's take care of our people. Let's get into the closet. Let's get into prayer. Let's get back to the resurrection of the dead. Are you listening to me? You see, the early church, point number three, the early church had power to change the world. That's what this church has. The power to change the world. This is why you see addicts. You see rucas locas. They look crazier than the men. But they've been resurrected. They've been changed. Then you see mom and dad coming to church. You see people coming to church just to see the wonder of the trophies. And then they decide to stay in the church because they just seen the resurrection power. Not only did they see the change, but the early church knew that the world was going to be changed one by one. Sometimes we want the massives when we need to just take care of one by one. One by one. So, let me read Acts 17, verse 6. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason, a certain brother, unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These who have turned the world upside down have come hither." Great power they had. This man, Jason, we can't find the other ones, but Jason, we're taking you in. And we're taking you in. And by the way, Jason means hands of healing. And they brought in Jason, and Jason said, no. We're here because God has us on a mission to turn this world upside down or right side up, whatever you want. You see, you have the ability, all of us sitting here, to accomplish something that we cannot do it in the natural, but we could do it in the power of God. And you can't tell me que tal muy viejito, I can't walk no more. No. I've seen grandmas full of the power of God. I've seen my grandma full of the power of God. I got my own mother, 96 years old. She's still living in the Holy Ghost. She's still cooking. She's still walking. She's still talking. She still sees. Why? She tells me, Reuben, el Señor que yo tengo es poderoso. You never hear an old lady talk like that. Ay, me duele esto, me duele esto. Ay, estoy bien jodida. No, when you got God, you ain't acting like that. You got a God that is a healer inside of your life, and you will turn the world upside down. Woo-hoo. Come on, we need some power here. So we need to power up in prayer. Prayer is the only thing that changes things. That's why Jesus says, go into your closet and go in and pray. You can't see me, but I'm listening. Don't you ever think that he is not listening. He is listening every time you pray. But every time you pay attention to yourself, you lose conscience of him. And that's the enemy sidetracking your mission. Your mission is to stay there and make an effect, even if you don't see him, but God's writing everything down, and it's about to take effect throughout the days or the months, but it will happen. Look at you sitting here. We were just driving. Edgy, you're going to be here. We're just driving, then God opens a door, and then another door, and another door, and look at this beautiful building. That Edgy and his wife, listen to me. This man is a hard worker. He's a hard driver. And all this way didn't look this nice. Downstairs didn't look nice. In the back, it didn't look nice. The Sunday school didn't look nice. They were okay, but they didn't look this nice. You know why? Because somebody had a vision of this place. Somebody had power in prayer that changed everything. Because when you pray, everything begins to change. You change. The building changes. Your home changes. Your kids change. Everything starts changing because you know how to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, you better learn how to pray. Because one of these days, the devil's going to chase you down. You're going to pray. You will pray. The Bible says that the place was shaken. It was shaken. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm right here. Glory to God. All right. Chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. It's coming to the place now that if you don't pray, you're going to stray. This is where we're at. If you don't pray, you're going to stray. Because it's becoming harder and harder to be a Christian. Pretty soon, they're going to look at you like a crazy man. Anything that is religion is going to be looked at as a crazy people. Why? Because sin wants to take over, but we're the light of the world. And the light of the world shines in the middle of darkness. And when people are praying, they're not going to care. We're going to speak the word of God with boldness, with the roaring of a lion's voice. Why? Because when you hit the throne, you hit the power of God. When you hit the throne, you see lightning, boom, I'll make it happen. Why? The supernatural is so real, but you don't understand that yet, but it is real, real, real. How many of you have experienced a miracle right in front of you? Let me see those eyes. Pick them up high. Okay, those are the ones we need. We need you to influence everybody else that God is a God of miracles. That God is a God that will do anything that he wants to do. Why? Because the whole place was shaken. When they prayed, the Bible says, it shook. It shook. Get ready for a good shaking. If there's a big earthquake, get up and pray. Look at that earthquake as a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm shaking. Glory to God. Here comes revival because everybody is going to look for a church. But you got to be prayed up. Tell your neighbor, it's time to pray up, neighbor. Stop being flesh Gordon. And be a man of prayer. Because a man of prayer walks in confidence. And walks in confidence. All things are possible to him that believeth. That's your pastor here. That's what his words were. God, the God of the impossible. He does everything. Yes, he does. When I go down to the kitchen, it didn't look like that. That is one beautiful kitchen. And the cooks are anointed. My God, can they cook in the Holy Ghost? They cook some good things. Not only do you get fed spiritually, now you get fed physically. I don't know about you, I'm getting a little hungry. Come on, somebody, we're going to have a little feast after this. But we need to learn how to pray. This is what the disciples said in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, he ceased, and one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So there was a pattern there that John taught his disciples. Then they come up to Jesus because he's an example in praying. Tapped them in the back and says, can you teach me how to pray? Listen, there is no shame of asking people to help you learn how to pray. There is no shame in that. There is no shame. When I first got saved, I learned how to pray. I learned how to pray. And you know what? I had an experience. I was in the home for 7 days. That's it, 7 days. And the Holy Ghost came and touched me and changed me completely. It's the eighth day I was in Bible school. Didn't even know what the heck I was doing there. But I knew one thing. I was hungry. I went to work. I supported my wife. Went to Bible school for 3 days at nighttime. And there, because there was no activity in the Bible school. You know what I mean? I mean, there was no activity in the church for a Bible school. So I went because I was hungry. And I took my wife, Stella, with me. I asked them, can you allow me to bring Stella? I can't pay you. Mr. Camarillo, that was our teacher, he says, go bring her. And he was speaking Spanish, and I was trying to gather all the proper Spanish. And me and Stella were, you know, talking to each other. I said, we need to learn this proper Spanish. And do you know, that was my first graduation. My first graduation, my first diploma. That's what hunger does to you. Teacher, can you teach us how to pray? Teach us how to pray. You see, some people don't pray. They got springs in their knees. That's all they do. They can pray when they get food. Oh, God, thank you for this food. Hallelujah. For the bacon and eggs. And you call it all out. Why can't you learn how to pray when yourself and start calling out everything that you need help in? Come on, somebody. So the disciples were hungry to learn how to pray. So they had a better thing going than the organization of churches and the doctrines of churches. They had something better. They had God walking in the flesh, teaching them how to pray. The impartation of that must have been so powerful that anointing was just flowing through people that were hungry to pray. Listen to me. You want to do what God wants you to do? You want to go another 20 years? Get in your closet. Get a hold of somebody and let's say, let's pray together. Get a hold of your wife and say, I want to pray for you until you make it, wife. Because I had to tell Stella that because she was pretty stubborn. She was very educated. I said, Stella, come on. I'm going to pray. No, I don't want to pray. Give me your hand. I'm going to pray for you. And when I got her from the hand and taught her how to pray. And she finally got it. And when her eyes were open, boom, I didn't do nothing no more. I didn't have to do anything no more because she did every single thing. That's what happens when the power hits you. All of a sudden, you're illuminated. All of a sudden, your eyes are open. Your spirit is open. You're not thinking the way you used to think. Now you're full of fire, full of glory, and it doesn't matter what takes place. All you want to do is God's will. Come on, say amen to me. I mean, say amen to Jesus, that's what I'm saying. Number three, I got to go quickly. When you pray, there is a spirit of love. Look at verse 32 out of chapter 4, verse 32. It says these words, and the multitude of them believed and were one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which were he possessed was his own. And they, with great power, gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. With great grace was upon them. They were what? They were loving each other. For people to stick together, there has to be a lot of love. The number one killer of the church is strife, jealousy, and division. When you start talking about your brothers in an ugly way, stop that. Get the agape love. Get the love that comes from God and say, in this church, we can't talk. Let's pray. Let's pray about every single thing that is going on in your life. Let's get rid of it. Let's flush it down. And let's see God multiply the church. Are you with me? Yeah, we need to pray for each other because, you know, I've been a pastor for 50 years. And listen to me, the worst thing that I can find is people that are gossiping or people that are criticizing. I like a team that comes in and says, let's not do that, brother and sister. Let's pray for each other. Let's get rid of the spirit of jealousy, strife, and division. Let's move the church forward so that we could go into a place of promise so that your family can come in, everybody can come in and get saved because we want to see the church do well. We cannot have division. The other thing is that you got to learn how to forgive each other. You're going to have mistakes. How many have ever made a mistake? Thank God. Hallelujah. I love you all. We're all going to heaven. How many have ever judged somebody the wrong way and they were not that way? How many learned a lesson through that? We're growing. We're growing. So whenever you hear gossip, just a sister, brother, let's just pray for them. And let's just love them. Let's forget about all that. Let's flush it out of the church. Well, I don't like my pastor. You don't have to love him. Let God put his love in you towards him. Because God put him in front of you for a reason. Maybe he put him there just to bring out who you are. That's all I'm saying about that. Then, when it's all said and done, this is the results. You power up to witness, to win people to the Lord. With great power, gave the apostles witness. Witness. Listen to verse 33. He says, and when great power, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace was upon them all. I don't know about you. There is something about working together, that there is a grace that flows and there's a power that flows with people. I've seen people that get united by the hairs. My teacher used to say, hay que estar unidos, hermanos. Let's be united by true agape love. Because with great power gave the apostles witness. In other words, they were all transformed. They were all walking as one. They were all not criticizing each other, but they were just loving each other. And the power of God bared witness of the beauty of the love that they had for them. The power was there to witness because they saw something different. When you see something different, doesn't it give you curiosity? You start looking and say, what happened to this person? What went on with you? I don't understand. You're so different now. And then they tell you the simple word, Jesus touched me. Jesus touched me. And then all of a sudden, it's different. It's different. The atmosphere becomes very, very different. I don't know about you. I want to be who God wants me to be. And this church will survive when it's got good people. And if those good people will produce more people because they're walking in the spirit of love and correction is there, but they're personally correcting themselves and making different changes to change the attitude because you love each other and you care for each other. How many love your pastor here? Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with loving your pastor. He doesn't want to be a God. He doesn't want to be a, but it, when you say that you love your pastor, you know what it does for us? It makes us do more for you. And it brings a healthy spirit because you're loving, you're caring, and you're using your words properly, and you're actually giving us an injection of encouragement. Yeah, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. For the next 20 years, you're going to have to capture these. Number one, the promise of power. Number two, the power of the resurrection. Number three, the church walked in power in the world. And number division two, let power have, bring the power through prayer. Number three, power up with that agape love. I had one guy, and I'll stop with this. When we were first pioneering, he got saved and everything looked okay, but I gave him too much rope. He visited my house, and one day he backslid it, and he came. He knew I was to church, so he came into my house, broke into the house, and we came from church, and we found the door open. We saw all the chaos inside the house. And Stella said, what are we going to do? I said, well, first of all, I'm tired. Tomorrow, we'll take care of the mess. Let's pick up the mess. And tomorrow we'll take care of it. I said, well, don't you want to report it? Yeah, let's report it. We'll report it. Well, so what are you going to do? Do you know who it is? Yeah, I know who it is. I know who it is. I said, well, what are you going to do? I said, nothing right now. But tomorrow, once I get rest, then we'll do something. Well, he ran. We couldn't find him. Bless his heart. Then I'm preaching in India, and guess who walks in? The guy, 5 years later, the guy that broke into my house. And he came up to me and said, Pastor, will you forgive me? Oh, yeah, I forgave you, brother. But if you do it again, I'm going to shoot you. I had to put the fear of God so we won't do it again. And he cried and all that. And I said, okay, it's okay. It's all right. As long as the family's okay, things are things. As long as the family's good. So, yeah, I forgave him. The power of forgiveness brings the blessing of God. It brings the blessing of God. Yeah. I believe that you have just entered into another season, and the next 20 years are going to be so powerful that even Edgy and Sonia are going, wow, look what the Lord has done. Today they say, look at what the Lord's done. The next time they're going to go, wow, wow, like the book of Revelation, wow, wow, was a curse name, but wow, wow is going to be a blessing. A blessing. Come on, stand with you. To your feet real quickly. Don't want to keep you any longer. They're cooking food, especially for us. I want you just to close your eyes as you make your stand. Make your stand. I want you to do something special with me. I want you to lift up both hands with you. Like when they put a gun on you, both of those hands go up. But now you're doing it, one without wrath. And without doubt. Thank you. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, you see all these hands here. I pray your blessing upon us right now. I pray that this church will be so powerful in the next 20 years. And today, take a picture of this, oh Lord, of all these hands going up, because they want to see your will be done on earth. And right now, I ask you for a special anointing to just fall upon everybody. Let your glory, let your power, let your wisdom, let your anointing just fall. And right now, break every yoke, break every power, break every sickness, bring deliverance, bring freedom in the name of Jesus. I thank you that our minds are going to be restored and transformed. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Now we receive this blessing, and we thank you, one without doubt, and the other doubt, now without the other one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you just speak in tongues and just praise him? Just thank him with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Right now, we pray for healings right now. All the knees in the name of Jesus. All our bodies in the name of Jesus. Everything that the doctor says that goes wrong right now in the name of Jesus. Bring in miracles, Lord. Bring in power, Lord. Bring in the beauty of holiness, oh God. Bring your presence now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for these healings. I thank you now in the name of Jesus. As every head is closed, every eye is closed. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Reuben, I don't know Jesus, or I am a backslider and I'm away from God. And God says, I'm married to the backslider. I'm married to you. That means that covenant is not broken. That means that he's sticking closer than a brother. That means he's not going to let you go. If you're here and you say, Pastor Reuben, I am a backslider. I want to come back to the Lord. I want you to get out of the aisle, and I want you to come. Come on, real quickly. If that's you, I want you to come. And if you're here for the very first time and you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus, but I want Jesus in my heart. Very simple. If you're not saved, I want you to come right now. You have religion, but there's no power. I want you to come right now, real quickly. I know you're out there. I know you're out there, and I know that God has His hand on you. I want you to come. I want you to come. Real quickly. I want you to come. Yeah. Real quickly. Real quickly. I want you to come. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Yeah. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody behind you there. There's another couple there. I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Right now, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Holy Spirit, fill me up from this day forward. Take away my sins and set me free in the name of Jesus. I thank you now in Jesus' name. We're going to pray for you. I'll stretch your hands this way, church. Heavenly Father, we just ask you for these that are here, these that have come forward. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray your touch upon them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, I want to invite you. If God spoke to you while you were sitting there, I want you to come. I want you to come. If God dealt with you in certain areas, I want you to come. There's a presence of God here. I want you to come. I want you to come. Just keep praying. Keep praying right there. I want you to come. God spoke to you. I want you to come. I want you to come. Come on. There's no shame in that. I want you to come. I want you to come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, I want you to come. Come on. Come on, just keep coming, keep coming. I don't know what God spoke to you about, but take it to heart. Believe me, I know when He speaks, He speaks. Maybe they can sing a worship song, and we're going to pray for everybody.
Forget the moment.